Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Here's Clint Sterner and the show.
That's right, a Football Friday here in Houston. And we got to go and get, at least get some thoughts and words on what the Steelers have and what the Texans have to face with the Steelers, and no better way than to go to Brooke Pryor, who covers the Steelers for ESPN NFL Nation and does a great job with them and knows this team inside and out. And Brooke, I need you to help us before we really get into the meat and potatoes. I need you to help us out with something. We were kind of going back and forth on how you pronounce the right tackle's name for the Steelers. Now, I like the pronunciation that I go with, but when I heard Clint, what he thought it was, I feel like he's right. But for me, it is Chukwuma Okafor. I really, okay, that's wrong, the way you busted out laughing.
Hold on, Chuck, no.
It says C-H-U-K-W-U-M-A. Chukwuma. That is beautiful.
I love the energy. The energy is great. Yes. See, I just circumvent that question and I can't figure it out. So we all call him Chooks. So he goes by Chooks Okorafor.
Oh, and it's Okorafor. What we call him Okafor?
No, there's an R there's in there. I didn't know if that was. I didn't know if you accidentally typed that in yesterday. If that's really how you spell it. I'm careful when I'm reading off the rundown.
What was yours, Clint? What did you think it?
It's Chukwuma. I mean, that's how my running back in college spelt his last name exactly, and it was Chris Chukwuma.
Chukwuma.
You can like really put an emphasis on the W if you want to.
That's Chukwuma. What I am.
But I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
Chukwuma.
I don't know about that right that there. You've been watching too many Disney movies with the kids.
Chukwuma. Yeah. All right. No, but we have fun with his name. But he's got a big matchup for him this week as the right tackle, and that's predominantly where J.J. Watt lines up. How concerned are the Steelers with that potential matchup? Because I know they loved their right tackle who went down against the Giants, and that's a big loss for them. How concerned are they with this matchup?
Yeah, I mean, Dukes has a tall task, and I mean, I'm not breaking any news here with that. I think that they really liked Zach Banner, but this battle between Banner and Okorafor really went down to the week of the first regular season game. That's how close it was. So I think that they feel okay with Okorafor stepping in there. The bigger issue to me is just that if anything were to happen, you're playing against such a physical player, they have no depth on the offensive line, or at least no depth that you'd feel good about. I mean, you've got Kevin Dotson, who's more of an interior guy, that stepped in last week when they were down to their third string right guard. In theory, he's a body that you could put there, but the guy that you really want to fill in all the spots, Stephen Wisniewski, is on IR with a pec injury. But I do think that for Okorafor, the biggest benefit to him is that he's already seen a Watt. He sees a Watt every day in practice in TJ Watt, and that is a tough matchup. TJ is not going to treat Okorafor the same way that J.J. Watt is going to treat him in the game on Sunday, but he at least got a taste of that physicality through training camp. And I think if they didn't have a Watt that he was going against, you'd be a whole lot more worried about this matchup. But I think that they are cautiously optimistic about how he'll do and how he'll protect Ben Roethlisberger.
Brooke, if you like NFL football, you've clearly watched Ben Roethlisberger for a long time now, so you know what he's about. But after missing last year. He's long in the tooth, man. He's at the end of his career. I heard an interview, I don't know which game, which one of the first two games it was after, but it seems to me, in just listening to him talk post-game, that it's a little different version of Ben Roethlisberger. What do you see different in the Ben that's come back this year after injury and is really playing for the love of the game and the love of being around his teammates?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're seeing a guy who's maybe not as arrogant as he was before. I mean, obviously, to play at the level that you're at, you have to have a ton of self-confidence. But to me, I see more of the evolution of Ben as a leader and as, like you said, playing for the love of the game. You know, last year before he got hurt, his big emphasis was being a leader in a locker room post-AB and post-Le'Veon Bell. And then he didn't really get that chance because he got hurt. And to me, the first thing that jumped out was after the Broncos game, he took all the blame for the interception, for some of the missed passes. He said, hey, my receivers were exactly where they needed to be. This is all on me. I just didn't throw the ball the right way. I need to trust them more. I have to build that connection. There was no blaming a receiver. You know, maybe he could have fought for the ball more or come back to it, anything like that. And to me, that says that this is a guy that recognizes he needs to really foster that connection and that relationship with these young receivers, because just demeaning them and saying, well, they've got to do this better, they've got to do that better, that's not going to help your relationship, and that's not going to help you be successful in the last couple years of your career. So he's really gone out of his way to strengthen that relationship, and not he gives constructive criticism. I mean, he'll still get after guys. He got after them Thursday in practice. He wasn't happy with his receivers. The guys weren't finishing routes, and he let them know very vocally that that's what was happening. But at the same time, in the same practice, he specifically focused on Deontay Johnson to work on that connection and was throwing just about every ball his way just to get that repetition in. So I think you're seeing a guy, as offensive coordinator Randy Buechner said, he's not an old dog that you can't teach new tricks. You can still teach him. He's still learning, and he's still, you know, he's having a lot of fun with the game.
What about this receiving core? Talk to us a little bit about these guys. What does each one of them bring to the table?
Yeah, we were actually talking about it today at practice. It's crazy how deep the Steelers receiving core is, and they don't necessarily have a lot of marquee name brand guys. I mean, obviously you've got Juju Smith-Schuster, Deontay Johnson's coming on strong. I think Juju right now is really benefiting because Deontay has developed more and is getting such a huge, huge amount of targets at this point. Juju's able to play in the slot, and he's able to kind of, some things are opening up for him the way that they were last year when Deontay was just a rookie. And Deontay can be a real game breaker. He can be a deep threat. He's a fast guy. I think that he's a guy that's going to eventually be the top wide receiver on this team and allow Juju to be kind of in a supporting role, which isn't what you would think Juju would be good at because he's a guy that likes spotlight. But I think defensively, that's what will help him out the most. Then you've got James Washington, who's an incredibly physical receiver. You've got Chase Claypool, has 5 catches on 5 targets in that touchdown. And even in tight ends, you've got Eric Ebron, who hasn't had many targets yet, but he's definitely capable of being involved. So it's a really dangerous receiving core when you start thinking about it.
Brooke Pryor, who covers the Steelers for ESPN NFL Nation. Let's move to the other side of the ball. Listen, the Texans have struggled mightily offensively, but from the first two games, the Steelers have looked like one of the best defenses in the league. Now, I was a little surprised that Jeff Driskel, once he came in, was able to have the success he did. Where may the Steelers be vulnerable defensively?
Yeah, you know, the Broncos started to have more success when they were getting Noah Fant, the tight end, involved. You know, some of the linebackers were struggling in coverage. You've got a guy like Devin Bush, who is a good player, but that's still an area that he's working on. And I think that if the Steelers attack, or if the Texans attack that, attack some of those weaknesses, you know, the Texans also went away from the ground game. I'm getting all my teams mixed up. The Broncos went away from the ground game in the first half, after the first half, and Melvin Gordon was really getting some good runs off. I think if the Texans get a run game established, don't pull away from that. You know, the Steelers were talking about this week that they respect both Duke Johnson and David Johnson as guys that could really do some damage. So between that and really involving some big tight ends, I think that those are some areas where the Steelers can be vulnerable. But like you said, I mean, this is a really good Steelers defense. They're blitzing at just essentially a championship level rate at this point. I think it's like 64% of the time they're blitzing, and the rest of the league is averaging, I think, 28%. It's just the way that they are playing right now is really making up for the offense still coming together with Ben, and they're covering up a lot of mistakes. The biggest thing for them is just to stop being penalized, but they did have officials out at practice this week to kind of work through some of those things. So hopefully they play a cleaner game on Sunday.
All right. Real quick, before we get you out of here, Brooke, what's it like to cover Mike Tomlin every day? That seems like a joy. He seems like he just is right off his sleeve with his emotions and very honest. What's it like to cover that cat?
He is. You know, he's so funny because he can be so emotional on the sideline. But a lot of times when he's talking to us, and especially now in a Zoom camera, he's very poised and collected, but my favorite moment recently where we really got to see the real Mike Tomlin was post-game on Sunday. We're all, you know, trying to make the Zooms work in the press box, and we have one mic that doesn't open up when they needed to, and then another one opened up beside the sky, and he just cursed. He was so mad that it wasn't working, and it got caught on the hot mic, and Mike Tomlin's eyes just bugged out of his head. And he was like, hot mic, live mic.
What was the cuss word? I know you can't. What was
it was a four-letter one that starts with an F.
Oh, I gave him the big one.
Yeah, he was in practice mode already. Hey, Brooke, I don't know if you're a fantasy football player or not, but if you were, are you starting Benny Snell or are you starting James Conner this week?
Oh, man, I am a fantasy player, and I gave a friend some bad advice last week and said to start Benny Snell instead of James Conner, and that did not go great. So this week, I'm going to go back to saying start James Conner. I mean, they want him to be their bell cow back. He's healthy. Benny Snell has some ball security issues. And so I think right now, until James Conner gets hurt again or gives them a reason, a pretty significant reason to put him on the bench, they're going to stick with him. You know, Benny Snell might be the running back of the future, but he's not the running back for right now.
Brooke, thank you so much. That's Brooke Pryor, who covers the Steelers for ESPN. Thank you so much for joining us and giving us the understanding of the Steelers and where, maybe the Texans have a chance somehow.
Well, thanks, guys, for having me on.
All right, that's Brooke Pryor, ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.